When the ladder had settled, the cord hung limply against the wall, and if anyone noticed it, they would assume it was just a piece of old twine hanging from part of a decaying and disused building. Aisha led the way to the front of the old building, checking that the SecMen on duty was paying little attention to the side, and then beckoned the two youths to follow her as she slipped onto the thoroughfare, which was busy enough for them to blend in quite easily.
Huh. That wasn't at all bad.
Bad nothing, you stupid bastard. I'd like to see you do better. That method you had of getting in, you went by the old tunnel, right? It's so friggin' dangerous. Second time I tried it, I nearly got caught, and I vowed that I'd find a better way then.
So how the hell did you find that the window barrier was loose in that position?
I don't know. It let in light where it wasn't tight anymore. Saw it one day when I was trying to get in your way, trying to avoid the sec. Just had to take a look at the outside, see where the window came out. It was perfect.
You're pretty damn smart.
Cause my tits don't get in the way of me thinking?
Hey, I just don't like being called limp dick.
Then I guess I'm smart for a girl.
Hot pie, Baron Al must have given you too much shit growing up. I'm just trying to be nice, give credit where credit's due. And you're always popping off! Fact is, you're pretty damn smart for anyone, I guess.
Oh, that's okay then.
By now they had moved away from the old industrial area and back into the main residential and barter sector of the ville. As they passed by, there were a few glances shot their way by people who had recognized Aisha as the Baron's daughter. But such was the fear they had of Al Jorgensen that they dare not approach her.
Is it me, or is this getting a little uncomfortable?
Danny was busy looking at Aisha, who was returning his admiration.
Danny?
No, I don't reckon so.
That's because you haven't been paying attention to the people around us.
I swear, Danny, that boy's jealous about something.
Listen, Aisha, you're going to land us right in shit with the sec, because we need to blend in with the background until we get back to the rendezvous point, and you're really making us stand out.
Tough. Look, I just want to get some reassurance from the others in your party that the deal's on.
I've said so, haven't I, Aisha?
No offense, Danny, but you're not exactly in charge, are you?
No.
And neither are you, little man.
Fair enough. I can understand that. But you're going to get us into trouble before we reach the rendezvous at this rate.
Okay. Tell me where the rendezvous point is.
There's an outcropping along the outer road where we're all supposed to meet.
Okay. I know the place. I can get us there without anyone seeing, so stop moaning, stoop.
Dean shrugged. Looking at the way Danny was staring at Aisha and her determination to dictate terms to the rest of the wreck party, there was little he could do. He agreed, reluctantly, and let her lead the way. Aisha took them away from the main drag of the ville, circumventing the crowded center and around quieter areas that were not occupied during the day, as the inhabitants of Charity went about their daily business in the centers of commerce and trade. They were able to make rapid and unseen progress and were soon at the edge of the ville. They waited by a low adobe wall, sheltered from the outer track that was used by the motorbike sec patrol. There was no sign of their companions by the outcrop that they had used as shelter, but then they weren't expecting any.
We've just got to wait for the sec patrol to pass, and then we can make the distance.
The minutes seemed to crawl by until the sec patrol roared into view, coming from opposite directions. The three youths waited impatiently for the bikers to cross, but after what seemed like an eternity, the bikers set off to continue their sec circuit of the ville.
Let's go.
Dean broke into a trot, and Aisha and Danny tried to keep pace. Dean wondered if the others had fared well in their part of the mission, or even if they had made it back alive. A question that was answered as they reached the rendezvous.
Well, well, my young gentlemen, what do we have here? I had no idea that we had to bring back souvenirs.
Yeah, what the hell have you done now, Danny?
Nothing.
Then what do you call that?
Lonnie came down from a point of cover, his blaster waving angrily. Behind them, and to one side, Doc, Jack, Mick, and Tilly also slipped out of cover, until they formed a circle around the returning trio.
I ain't a that, limp dick.
Aisha kept herself cool. The Thompson remained on her shoulder, and although she felt anger, she didn't let it show.
I've got a name, and I've got a reason for being here.
It's gonna have to be good.
Mick was making sure that Aisha was more aware of the fact that his blaster was leveled at her, by gesturing with it as he spoke.
I feel certain the Dean would not have allowed a stranger to endanger this mission. If he is assured that she is safe and that there is a reason strong enough for her to be here, then the very least we can do is hear her out.
Lonnie shot Doc a look of venom. Jack caught this and fixed the patrol leader with his fiery, piercing red eyes.
Doc Wright, let's hear.
With a sigh, Lonnie looked away. He knew that during the preceding few hours, the combined skills of the albino and the old man had been useful, and he owed them that much.
Well, spill it, I've got a name.
The Baron's daughter told them everything that she had already told Dean and Danny. When she explained how she had caught them, Dean saw that Doc was gazing at him speculatively. He knew that the old man would be amused that Dean had allowed himself to get caught, but would also be anxious for the young caughter to explain how much of the old tech he had been able to unlock. It had been unspoken among the companions since the start of their mission, but the CD-ROM that the friends possessed was an item that still held their curiosity. Could Dean have discovered how to unlock its secrets? Doc would be anxious to question the young caughter when they had some privacy, or when they were back at the redoubt with the rest of their party. Meanwhile, Ayesha had reached the end of her tale and had told the rest of the wreck party about the deal she had struck with Dean and Danny. She was astonished to find Lonnie whirl around to the bespectacled teenager.
You nuke shit moron. What the fuck gives you the right to make deals without telling the rest of us? Who runs this fucking wreck party? What, you want to let us do the business while you sneak off and then come back with some kind of stoop scheme that could give everything away?
It's not like that.
Shut the fuck up. Where the fuck were you when we needed you? We thought you'd got chilled in that bar and went on to make the wreck, and all the while you were in danger of fucking things up for us and for Papa Joe by getting yourselves caught by Baron Al's sack.
The sect couldn't catch a stump-legged mutie running backward in a sandstorm. They're shit and they know it. Lazy motherfuckers, all of them. Day I can't get past them is the day I deserve to buy the farm.
Lonnie, stopped in mid-tirade by Ayesha's outburst, stared at the girl speechlessly for a moment.
Shit, you sure don't sound like there's much love lost between you and your Ville.
A Ville and a Baron who'd sell his own fucking daughter down the river? What do you reckon?
Maybe she's got a point there, Lonnie. Anyway, it's too late to worry about it now. We've got three choices. Chill the bitch, take her with us, or figure she's telling the truth.
Dean watched Danny out of the corner of his eye. The youth stiffened at the mention of chilling Ayesha, and Dean figured that this could be a problem. If it came to a choice between the group and the girl, Dean had no doubts where Danny's loyalties would lie, and the last thing Dean wanted to see was him chilled.
She's telling the truth.
How do you know?
Well, I guess I don't, Mick. But then again, I don't know that she's lying either. She could have turned us over to the sec, and she didn't have to bring us back here. It's a fair point. I reckon we should go with this one. It'll make things a little easier when we attack. Having one less wag to knock out kinda evens the odds a bit.
Which, I must say, is no bad thing. So I strongly suggest, if I may be so bold as to address our group leader, that we wrap this up and hit the trail. Time is tight, as I believe the saying goes. Went.
You are one crazy old bastard, but there was some sense in there somewhere. Seems everyone wants to believe you, kid, and I guess I should go along with that. Triple fucking stupid, Danny, to bring you here, but that's done. You go and get yourself and your girls ready, if you could trust them.
Only the ones I tell. Most of them would be shit, but there's a few of us, and that's all it needs. The others will just be glad to be saved.
Okay. We need to hit the road, so you go back and get ready.
All right. So, Danny, guess this is it.
Yeah. Guess so.
Maybe I'll see you in a while, if we both get out of this without being chilled. And maybe you can teach me something about the old tech, okay?
She left before Danny had a chance to answer, the Thompson still slung across a narrow shoulder. She didn't look back. Surveying the empty area across the desert between the outcrop and the edge of the Ville, she stared up at the sun to judge where the sec patrol would be on their bikes. Nodding to herself as she worked out that she had the time to traverse the distance safely before they came around again, she began to walk out into the searing desert heat of the middle of the day. Danny watched her go, and then started when he felt a hand on his shoulder. Dean was standing next to him.
Don't think about it. If you see her again, then it's supposed to be that way. Concentrate on keeping yourself from being chilled. That's all any of us can do, right?
What the hell do you know about it? You're a fucking kid.
Okay, you're right. Let's say when we get back to the redoubt, we'll try and unravel a few secrets before we have to get into a firefight. Sound good to you?
Yeah, guess so. The two young men returned to the main body of the party, where Lonnie was issuing commands.
I was figuring on taking some rest here until the cover of night, but now we can't be certain that this is safe. I don't know whether or not to trust her, or whether or not she'll be spotted coming away from here, so I figure we need to head out triple fast.
In this heat? How the fuck are we going to get any cover in the middle of the day?
We aren't, Mick. We just move at a regular pace and keep ourselves triple alert. If she's found or says anything, then the mission's blown anyway. The attack on the convoy won't be a secret, so it's even more important than ever to get back to Papa Joe and report what we've found.
I guess so.
Then let's do it.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.